that would let him come into our house. Because it's a two-way street. Seems to me, any woman that'll let her know that these cops arresting us around here and then invite him in through the back door at night. It's a sin and a shame. And if you know them, tell them I said they ought to be run out of town. And here we are. Here we are. Well, we'll pay them. They can work for us. They don't have to be getting no dollar call. We pay them $2 a day. Work for freedom. They don't have to do that. So we come on down. We come on down to the Second World War. Skip over the First World War. But we got to understand this, that after the First World War, primarily, a lot of people began leaving the Southland, going up north, because the war had produced certain changes. And that's where my mama and papa went, away from the Delta, and left my grandmama and all the rest of the relatives down here. And they would write letters occasionally. And you know what I'm talking about, because you got brothers and sisters and sons and daughters and everybody else up there in Chicago, too. And I know you know what I'm talking about. And sometimes you wonder, well, don't they ever think about us down here? Don't they ever realize that we sweated and toiled all these years to try to give them education? We did our best. We know we failed sometimes. Now they sitting up there in the cities, look like they would come on down and help us a little bit. I know how it is, because after all, I'm from the soil too. And I know what you're going through, and I know what I'm going through. But in the meantime, we start flooding into the cities. And we start getting a little political power. And we start electing some Uncle Tom politicians. That's right. Up there in the north, they got some Uncle Tom politicians. And Brother Jordan is absolutely right. There's no point in everybody here coming out to these meetings, being shot at, going through all this trouble to elect some Negro who's going to be an Uncle Tom to get all the money for himself. You see? So we got to watch him. That's right. We got to watch our black brothers. Watch who leading you. You see, when all the fire's over, I know I got a cousin used to live up there. I went up to him. I said, why don't you register to vote? Well, I'm waiting till the fire goes out. The thing is too hot. And I said, well, man, we don't need you when it cools down. We need you now. So I would say to him, and he's my cousin, don't come running with your bucket after the fire's out. And you watch them. They go all come, all these uneducated teachers. And all these handkerchief-head preachers going to be running when you win this battle. And they're going to be trying to get in the front. I'm telling you, you got to watch them. They're going to be the ones that want to go down and sit in the city council. They're going to be the ones that are going to want to run for the city legislature. They're going to say, you uneducated. I got a degree from MVC, you see, and I ought to represent you. But don't you let them fool you. If you can come out here night after night in these meetings, you got enough sense to do anything that an eighth grader got like Bull O'Connor in Birmingham, Alabama. He ain't got no education.
No.
See, it don't take a whole lot of stuff to run that city hall down there. Anybody in here could almost run it. And don't let them tell you. They got all them secrets down there, how they stole the land. That's why they don't want you down there, how they stole all this land from you. See, because the Negroes used to own a whole lot of land around here. Don't let anybody fool you. They exed my grandfather out of his land up there in Marshall County. That's right. Produced some document in court said he made an X for a gambling debt. So he lost 500 acres of land. The man never gambled in his life. But it was choice land. And he didn't have any recourse. All those things go on. Then along came World War II and the African nations began to rise up. See, history is catching up with the white man. From the very shores that he wreaked and raked us and taken and captured us, the West Africans they have their freedom now, rising up in 47, up in Ghana and Guinea. And we have to understand this. The white man doesn't want us to think about Africa. He wants us to think that we are just pure-blooded Americans, when he knows that's a living lie. It's true we're Americans, but he talks about America for white America. Otherwise, why can't we vote come Tuesday? See, the Bible says you shall know them by their deeds and not by their words. But the devil's got a slippery tongue. That's right. So the African nations began to get their freedom, and that had an effect on all of us. Sometimes we don't know it. But sitting in the United Nations, they had black men and black women with all sorts of robes as heads of states. And you see, the white man couldn't say anymore that the Negro was dirty, was uneducated, because they had Negroes running governments. We can run these governments. And along came the 1954 Supreme Court decision and the tremendous effect that that had all across this land. And then, lo and behold, came February the 1st, 1960. And that was the day when four students up in Greensboro, North Carolina, decided to sit down at a lunch counter. And they sat down at that lunch counter, and they stayed there because they were tired of going into Greensboro, spending their money at a lunch counter, or rather spending their money in a 5 and 10 cent store and unable to buy a cup of coffee. It was an affront to their dignity. They became free the minute that they sat down at the lunch counter. And all of those who have gone down and faced that white man at the courthouse have become free the minute that you made that step. Because I know what it was like a year ago in Greenwood, and you do too. We were saying, child, I ain't gonna fool with that mess. No, I ain't going to the meetings. And when you came on out, something started moving in you. You got religion. But you got a different kind of religion. You got a touch of the freedom religion when you start doing these things. Lo and behold, the students began to organize. And somewhere down the line, the mantle of freedom touched upon Samuel Block and laid his hands upon Willie Peacock. And they came into Greenwood, Mississippi in August of 1962. And just think about that, less than 14 months ago. It's important for us to remind ourselves of these historical facts, because some of us who are here may not have known that it was Samuel Block and Peacock coming in here in 1962, August, sitting in the back of sleeping in the back of cars because they couldn't find any homes in which to sleep. That's right. We were in Atlanta. We had to send their mail in a plain envelope, address it to somebody else, because if the mail came through marked Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, they feared for their lives. Some of you may have forgotten the fact that 8 white men came up the stairs over Burns' funeral home, or rather photographic shop, with iron pipes in their hands and chains, and that the only way these guys got out was to jump down that antenna.
Amen. Amen.
That's right, this happened in Greenwood. And some of you may have forgotten about Block being beaten up there. It was a rough time, but all of you remember the shooting of Jimmy Travis here in Greenwood. All of you remember the time that Peacock and Block got shot at, the burning of the SNCC office, the shooting in Dewey Green's home, George Green's home. All of us remember those things. Am I right? And these things happened right here in Greenwood less than 6 months ago. That's right. And a new time came to Greenwood. We were in a moment of crises then. That's right. The town was gripped with fear. The white folks didn't know what to do, because instead of us running and leaving Greenwood, more workers came into Greenwood. Am I right? People came in. And you see, that's what the white man wanted you to do and wanted us to do. Shoot a nigga and watch him run. That's what he was saying. But this is a new nigga, and you tell Bug, the old man Hammond down there, we ain't running no more. And the next people that's going to run is going to be that political corrupt crowd out of that courthouse. We're going to run them out of there. And they know that the handwriting is on the wall. They know it. It's on the wall. They can't stop it. They cannot stop it for whatever they do. Because as the Lord said, if they slayed everybody in this house, you got some little kids, 5 and 6 years old, singing them freedom songs, and they ain't going to stand for it. They ain't going to stand for it. You hear what I'm saying? It's impossible to be learning freedom songs and grow up to be a slave, because there's something about them songs that make you want to be free. Is that right? Something about them. They get inside you, and they make you think about all of the things that you've been doing. You see, all of the things that you've been doing wrong. And this is the same way all across the South. People are singing these freedom songs. Up in Chicago, they're singing We Shall Overcome. And 250,000 of your relatives stayed out of school in Chicago because of the segregated schools up there. And it's a glorious sight indeed. And now where are we? We've come a long way from the shores of Africa 350 years ago, down through Virginia, through the slave revolts, the cotton fields, the building of the Delta, off of the slave blocks, down through all of the wars, and we wind up in Greenwood, Mississippi tonight, talking about a freedom ballot. And it's ironical, people, can you understand how sad it is that we have been struggling all of these years? Your parents before us, our parents before them, and our grandparents and our great-grandparents all have been suffering. You see? And you wonder, to what avail is it? What does it all mean? Well, it means the more that we struggle, the less our children will have to struggle. You see? And even there's a certain amount of joy and a certain amount of goodness in what we're doing. Because I'd rather be out here in the freedom fight than sitting up in some 5 and 10 cents movie watching some white folks on the screen so-called making love. You see what I mean? Or at home with my television set watching some gangsters shooting them up. Boom, boom, boom. That's all. It's a corrupt society. And it's going to be the black man that's going to help you liberate this country. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. You got all these Yale students. Well, where were they 5 years ago? They weren't down here in the South. But they came down because the black students, the Negro students of the South, and here in Mississippi were doing something. And they themselves are getting a new concept of living. All across this country, people are beginning to learn that there's something else in life besides a new suit of clothes, a new home, a lamp in the window, or something like that, you know. Or a barbecue stand in the backyard, or a 5 and 10 cents movie. There's something else. And we got to go on from this point and get our freedom and help free the white man.
Oh, yeah.
He's not free.
You're right.
And we're going to do all of this. And that's why your freedom ballot is important. And everybody in this room should go home and get on the telephone and say, child, it ain't but one more day to cast your ballot. And if you don't cast your ballot tomorrow, then I don't want to talk to you.
Right.
See, you can't have it both ways. You can't be my friend and Uncle Tom behind my back. See? And we ought to call a spade. And we're going to have to start getting hard, just like we talk about these handkerchief-head preachers and these uneducated teachers. We're going to have to start getting hard on our friends who call of themselves our friends. Because you don't need no Tom for a friend. You got something within you now that's going to last you until your grave. The spirit of freedom. And once we've done all this, then what have we done? We have helped our brothers in Alabama. They're suffering too. Like Miss Hall said, the people in Selma are saying, if they in Greenwood, Mississippi can do it, we can do it. And let me tell you something. Birmingham, Alabama was no accident. Remember, Birmingham followed 2 weeks after Greenwood. And I know, because I was over in Birmingham when there was only 10 people in the land. And I'm not saying that what I said had any effect. But we told them about Greenwood and how the people were willing to go down to register and face the dogs. And some people said, well, if they can do that, then we can do this. And that's the way it goes, you see, all over the South. People in Georgia say, well, if the people in Mississippi can begin to struggle, then I can struggle too. So that's why your ballot is important. And your ballot is important also because we must show the White Citizens Council with its headquarters in Greenwood, Mississippi, that it makes no difference how many times you shoot at a Jimmy Travis. It makes no difference how many Beckwiths you produce and kill Medgar Evers, that the masses of the people want to be free. And your freedom vote shows that. And then we got to talk about Eastland. See, how many of you know who Senator Eastland is? Who ever heard of Senator Eastman? That's right. He's got a plantation up there, but that's a man that sits up in Congress, in the Senate. He's a senator making laws for you with a plantation in Ruleville, Mississippi, or Dodge, whatever it is. Doddville, that's right, with a plantation up there. Here's a man that gets up on the Senate floor and talks about the Negroes ain't ready. And he's supposed to represent you.
Yeah.
That's right. He's supposed to represent the people of Mississippi. Not just the white people, but the people of Mississippi. And I say he's got to go. He's got to go. He's got to go. Stennis got to go. All of them got to go. And he's no fool. They know what we're saying, you know. But we got to stand up for them. We can't be afraid of them. We got to look them in the eye. Dead in the eye and say, yeah, you're wrong. You know, and when you're wrong, get back. It's like that old saying, we got to change it. You know, they said when you're white, you can get around. No, when you're white, you're right. When you're brown, you can get around. But if you're black, get back, get back. See, and we got to start telling him, you black in your heart, so get back. That's right, and let somebody else who's right in their heart take over. And your freedom vote will tell Eastland that his days are numbered. Because we're organizing all over the state. Down in Rolling, what's the name of that place? Rolling Fork? Rolling Fork down there. I think the man is right here. We'll let him tell you about it because you ought to hear it. I didn't know they would come in. Two young people got chased out of town at shotgun point. Yeah. And you ought to hear what they have to say when I finish. Down in Natchez, Mississippi, George Green, poor George, he gets it all the time, yeah, got shot at.
Yeah. Right.
Your boy from Greenwood, Mississippi, fighting for your freedom, got shot at. Down in Picayune, Mississippi, walking the roads of Poplarville this morning, was one little voter registration worker. What had happened was the sheriff had come up and had arrested the driver and had taken the driver somewhere off in the woods. And the people had to get out of the car. And you know what happened in Poplarville 6 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Charles Mack Parker got lynched. And you had a voter registration worker walking the roads of Poplarville this morning. Walking for freedom. Now, if these people can do all this, don't tell me we can't go down and cast our ballot. Don't tell me we can't go home tonight and get on the phone for 2 hours and call up everybody we know. We can make one little step for freedom. We can't turn back. Think about the song, "We'll Never Turn Back." Gone too far now. We got to move on out from Greenwood and go up to Belzoni. That's right. We got to go into Belzoni. Because the sheriff up there has to know his days are number two. We got to go down in Yazoo City where we weren't able to get. That's right. We got to go down and wake them up. 16 months ago, they were saying Greenwood was a dead place too. But we got to go into Yazoo City, and we got to get into Winona where they beat Mrs. Hamer. Where they beat Gilliatt. Did you know that? Did you know that up in the Winona jail, they had an old woman, Mrs. Hamer from Ruleville. And because she wouldn't say yes, sir, they whooped her every time. They brought the guards in there and made the guards whip her. That's right. All this is going on. And what is the difference between now and 350 years ago? Ain't much difference. We still slaves. And that's why we got to bow, bend our knees and straighten our heads in a sense and dig in and say we're going to be free. And we're going to do all these little things that's possible in order for us to be free. We're going to have to start thinking. And all you maids in here and all of those that you know maids, find out what the white folks are thinking. You don't have to tell them you're spying on them. Look around. That's right. If I look on them, start reading some of that mail sometime. See what's on the desk. They gone half the day. They don't know what you're doing. See? That's right. We got to get smart. They smart on us. They bugging our telephones. We got to get us an underground And tell, get that word back to Sam Block what the white folks thinking. That's right. The way we broke the thing up there in Fayette County when they had all them people in tents. A maid sneaked in and got the combination to the safe and took out the blacklist. See, they had all them Negroes on the blacklist. And got the blacklist, copied the blacklist, and put it back. And they never knew where the Negroes got the information from. And the maid is the most powerful person in a community like this. Because while you serving them food, they talking about them niggas doing this and the niggas doing that. And don't keep it to yourself. I know what it is. I know what they're saying. See? And they ought to be thankful that we are proud and honest people, because we could slip some cyanide into the food and they never know what would happen, see? But we ain't going to do that. We love them. We love them. I ain't trying to give you no ideas. We love them. See, we going to treat them nonviolently. We going to win them. See? We going to win them. But we got to have information, see? That's right. See? All these little things we got to do. You know, they don't understand us. When we say yassim and shake our head and smile, they don't know what's inside us. They don't know. No, they don't know. So we got to get together. And ultimately, all the maids in Greenwood have got to get together and have some sort of a maids union where we can get $4 a day instead of $2.50 to $3, or even $5 a day, you see? All these things have to be done. I'm not going to hold you up too much longer, but I like to end this thing with what we say all the time. Having looked at what we've been doing 350 years, how we've suffered on the slave blocks, in the cotton fields, how we've been hung up by the head or by the feet and whipped, we've been dying every day. And the way things are, a Negro comes into life not to live, but he comes in here to die. And every day he's dying bit by bit, because it's a sad thing to be segregated. You can't even be human. You got to go around with a lot of burdens on you. And you got to wonder, can I go here and can I go there? In Chicago, they're not free. I used to live up there. I went downtown, and every time I go downtown, I wonder, can I go in this restaurant or can I go in that restaurant? And that's not freedom.
No, no.
Freedom is when you know within your soul that you are a man. There are times when people have experienced that, but not in America. I was over in the Philippines, and it was like a whole weight lifted up off of me. You know, I felt something like I was floating in the air almost, because I knew it wasn't any segregation. And that's the way these soldiers coming back from France and Germany have felt. They'll tell you about it. Am I right, you who've been in the army?
Yeah.
Ain't know what I'm talking about. It's like a whole weight being taken off of you. So we dying every day. And if it takes death because we make a freedom ballot, then let us die. Because if we don't make some supreme sacrifice now, our children are going to have to suffer. And it's not right to bring a black child into this world for him to be segregated when you know you haven't done anything. And remember, I'm not talking about the roll up in heaven. We got children asking their parents now, Mama, what have you done for freedom? And if all these kids can get out here and work 17 hours a day, then we can make some effort. We owe it to them. They didn't ask to be brought in this world. They didn't be brought in. It was our pleasure that brought them in this world. And we ought to do something to get it and make them better. And don't let us fool ourselves. We got an obligation to our grandchildren. And we got to pay off our debt. And as we pay off the debt, we can go forward singing, "We Shall Overcome." Thank you.
Sit out to welcome.
John Lewis. We have the other workers who've been working in Washington County Roller Park. I don't know who's gonna speak for Roller Park tonight. Another thing, we had a young man get kicked out of home in Belzona. Mississippi tonight, see?
Done what?
Kicked out of home.
Hand packed the bag and took him away.
Brought him up here to us.
Man,
this man is good as we.
Who did?
Pants.
Pants. Said what?
I know.
Somebody tell us about his son. Come on out and tell him today.
I live in Belzona, Mississippi. My name is Lewis Jane Williams. My mother's name is Mary Lee Jane. My father's name is Willie Jane. And take a loud.
Get over there to that low one there. That little bit.
Mics don't work.
Elevate your voice.
Let's talk loud.
Anyway, in Belzona, Mississippi, that's where I live at. And right now, it's kind of rough in there. And things are going rough, and we tried to try to get the people to come out and vote Saturday evening, but the police in Belzona will not let us do it right now. They stopped us twice. They took Willie James Shaw to jail at first, and then he got out some kind of way. I don't know exactly how he got out, but anyway, Belzona is kind of rough.
And your brother put you out.
Well, not exactly. She put me out. I have got a lot of ones that Belzona that I got a lot of telephone calls saying that they threatened my life, something like that. And my mother and father told me I'm gonna have to leave Belzona because of what's going on, what the people are saying to her about me. And so I told her I will leave. And I came here.
One house, we knock on the door, and we explain about the mock election, and we hand out leaflets, so forth, and we try and get the vote. Well, I had to get a pencil, and I went down the block to one of the stores and borrowed a pencil from the men there, and then I tried to get his vote, and he didn't want to give me his vote and wanted back his pencil. So I convinced him to let me keep the pencil, and I went on back up the block to canvas. Well, about 20 minutes after this, police car passed by, and there was, two men in the car, one was in uniform, one was not. And they just drifted on down the block, looked over the situation. And about 10 minutes later, this truck pulls up, back of our car, and jots down the license plate. And I'm on the steps talking to this elderly man about getting his vote. And then my back is to the street. The next thing I know, he's telling me to look out, and this truck pulls right up onto the lawn by an inch from my leg. I look around, and this cat opens the door, has a shotgun in his hand, says, "Nigga, you gotta stop this nonsense we're giving you," and he cusses a few damn minutes to get out of town. And so I kind of stood back, and the fellow I was talking to went to the house and knocked the door. So I was sort of isolated there on the porch. So I started to turn around and tell him to take it easy. He said, "Damn it, nigga, get out of town. You got exactly 1 minute." He slammed the door and backed the truck up down the road. So I went back to the car and put my ballot box in there, and the crowd had gathered. And they sort of dispersed. As I started to walk towards the next house, people closed their doors and everything. So I went across the street to the house that Charlie was in and told him that maybe it'd be best for the time being. We left town. So we went down to Myersville, about 10 miles away. And as soon as we got to Myersville, we found out another team of Matthew Hughes and a fellow named Henry Zayas. It's the Queen of County had gone up to Rolling Fork. So we doubled back and went back into town, to see if we can find them, make sure nothing happened. Well, as it turned out, they weren't in Rolling Forks. They continued on to Greenville. So we didn't stay in town more than an hour during this period of time. And as we left town, same cat that was in the truck, this man was in a Ford, and he sort of escorted us out of town, and he followed right behind our car. we lost them on the highway. We didn't waste the time on the gas pedal. But here's some of the things. This is the second day that we've had problems with guns. In Jackson, two nights, night before last, out on the road going to the airport, we got run off the highway by four cops. And I got pistol whipped on my hand by one policeman, and a fellow from New Orleans got shoved by a car door by another cop. And Cobb and Jesse Harris are standing out in the cold with their hands up and almost froze to death out there. So these votes are important. We got to stop things like this from happening. And as we've been telling people up and down the road, they don't get out and vote, these things are going to keep happening for the next 2,000 years.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm really hoping now that everybody here, I know, must have cast the ballot. And they're going to get everybody else to cast these ballots. So we knock on some doors and women says, gee, I want to see Aaron Henry as governor, but I can't vote for him. I said, well, how is he going to become governor if you don't vote for him? You know, this is after we explained, you know, the protest election, the idea of it. She says, well, it's a good idea, but I just can't vote. That's white people's business. I say, you know, that's right, this stuff's got to stop. So I'm trusting that, you know, these harassments which are happening to us, all of us, you know, are going to end. It's going to end because we're going to get out there and make some changes. We're in Issaquena County, where there's never been a Negro registered, you know, in the last 100 years. And some people down there told us, you know, as soon as this is over with, they're going down to the courthouse, they're going to register. Now, because of this election, what it's meant to them. So I'm hoping people in LaFleur County and all across the state will be casting those ballots tonight and tomorrow. Thank you.
After all of this, after all of the harassment that everyone is receiving today in the state of Mississippi, we made up in our minds to say that we'll never turn back. I think now would be the proper time to sing that song, "We'll Never Turn Back." So, I ask the people to come back here.